So, media and communication, we are two coaches for actors, Christophe here and me, Emmanuel, Olivier. And we've been running our company for over 20 years. We do career development coaching. Career coaching is tailored support that combines advice and coaching. It's perfect to gain for gaining confidence, clarifying your career objectives to develop your artistic career, finding new approaches, identifying your strengths, talents, and leverage points to advance to prepare for your interviews, for instance, pinpointing, understanding, and overcoming any obstacles, creating new opportunities, preparing meetings, and so on, so you can excel and stand out from the crowd.
And then we're doing also acting coaching, which means preparing for your auditions, of course, your roles, and recording yourself tapes. And we do all these in the form of personalized appointment, of course. We also set up an English language training course with acting and accent coaches from all over Europe. It's called the Accent and Acting Training. It's a program. It's open to all European actors and actresses. So just stay tuned with that because it's really amazing. We're just having one now, and we're just setting a new one. It's going to start in February, but I can't give you more information for now. We've long been interested in all the international careers, European careers, and thanks to our collaborations with Crew United and Sonia, who is here. And we got a lot of people from the team of Crew United, and we're so happy about that. So we've decided to launch a series of webinars, roundtables devoted to presenting the various audiovisual markets in Europe. It is huge, and it is really exciting. So this is, of course, to help everyone better position themselves with full knowledge what happening in especially in the desired territories, and because it's enlightening to see how things work beyond one's career and one's borders.
Before handing the floor to our two guests today, and there are many of us, a few guidelines for the smooth running of this new actors and the move roundtable. Unfortunately, we won't be able to give you the floor directly, so we suggest you ask all your questions in the chat during the discussion, and we will relay them directly to Sonia and Alexandra. Also, please mute your microphones to avoid any background noises. So come on, let's get started then. We are delighted to welcome Sonia Oseghi.
Sorry, it's a bit, it's
What?
not, but yeah, we have to talk about the recording. We're just recording
Ah.
this webinar, and you can have it on replay, as you can have all our webinars on replays on our website. And if you're a Crew United member, it's going to be for free, so you can have free access to the all webinar we just ran before. And if you are a Crew United member, just send an email to Sonia, and she will let you know how to make that happen. And so this webinar is going to be on replay as well on our website
As a podcast.
as a podcast. So please don't record yourself this webinar. You're not allowed to, and we would be very pleased if you don't do it.
So
Okay,
on then,
and now we can start.
we are
Sorry.
very delighted to welcome Sonia Oseghi, a French-German actress and project manager at Crew United, and Alexandra Adjok, former agent and project manager at Crew United as well. So I now give you the floor to introduce themselves more precisely. Who would like to start?
Wants to start? So
I
yeah.
can start. I'm
Yeah.
very, very happy to be here today together with Alexandra, which is really a great pleasure. My name is Sonia. So as you said, I'm a French-German actress. I'm based in Munich. I'm an actress since, well, I started theater school at 2002, and I ended it at 2006. So since 2006, I'm officially an actress, and I worked at theater and freelance, and I joined Crew United almost 5 years ago, mainly in order to build the French editorial part of the website, because I'm French and German, and now this is also my main purpose at Crew United. But I'm also in charge of the registrations and the profiles of German actors and all actors from abroad. Oh, so not only the French market. So this is what I mainly do. And as an actress, I work
freelance as much as is possible beside Crew United, and less theater and more audiovisual nowadays. That's me.
Great, thank you very much, Sonia. Alexandra, your turn.
Yes, hello to everyone. Welcome. Thank you for having me here. I'm quite excited. So in my film career, that is like more than 10 years long now, I have been working in different positions. I was assistant to the director for national and international cinema movies for more or less 3 years. And then I have been working in the placement service for performing artists, for performing arts in Hamburg, which is like a public agency. I will talk about that later. Here in Germany. And then I moved to Spain. I lived in Spain for 2 years. And from Spain on, I built up my own agency, started with 10 people later. There were 23 actors and actresses on it. And yeah, last year I got a baby. So I had a pause for a year. And now I'm starting to work again. And I'm on Crew United since 1.5 years in the Polish department and for the German department as well. And I'm doing some counseling to actors as a freelancer as well. So this is more or less what I did in the last years.
And great. Maybe since, I mean, that was us in person, but I don't know. There are lots of Germans who registered and who know Crew United, but for all of those who don't know Crew United is a database, a film database, and also a directory for film professionals in front and behind of the camera. Also for all kinds of, sorry, I have three languages in my head and sometimes it's not working. Companies, thank you. I got it back. So companies like agencies, production companies, and all kinds of facilities. So this is like really the whole audiovisual industry is reflected on Crew United, and it works like, we say in briefly, like a European IMDb and a LinkedIn. So you can have your own profile as a film professional on Crew United, and you can research for films, but you can also research for lots of professionals. And you can see via the projects, for example, how you have been in touch or to whom you are connected and through which projects. So this is a very nice way to present yourself, but also to research. We will tell you more about it later. And it has been like a dinosaur in Germany because it's very well known. It's from 1996.
Wow.
And so that's why it's like really a very well-known brand in Germany. But for the other countries, it's really new. And the English version was only launched in 2018. The French one, 2019, 2021, Poland. And this year we had 5 new language versions. Italy, Greece, Spain, Romania, Lithuania. Did I miss something out? No, I think that was it. And this means we have colleagues from those countries. So this is like really becoming a European project. And this is why we are also so happy to do those kind of actions together with professionals in order also to exchange about the things we have in common in European countries and markets and how we work and the differences, of course, as well.
Yes, right. That was important to say. Thank you very much, Sonia.
Thanks a lot.
So we got a question. The first question we always ask in those roundtables is about the language. Do we have to speak German if we want to work in Germany as an actor?
And which level?
Which level? And what about the accents? Who wants to start with it?
I can start. So I would say it depends. It depends on many things. It depends. First of all, it depends on the field that you want to work in. When we are speaking about the audiovisual industry, it depends as well. And the script is important, of course. And there is a difference between who is producing the project. For example, when we are speaking about the TV industry, like TV movies, it's still very German productions mainly. So I would say it's financed by two of our public broadcasters and they are doing German programs. So I would say you should speak German, but in the last years, there have been also big changes because the demand on the topic of diversity is very big in Germany in the last years. So the commissioning editors and the broadcasters, they are asking for diversity. They are asking for people of different ethnicities, and also I would say accents are also more welcome than in the past. The aim is to show a picture of Germany that is more realistic. And Germany is a country where many, many people from outside are living as well. So it's still not 100% this picture, but it changes. If you want to work as an international actor, I would open my eyes for cinema co-productions and for streamers also, because there are most of the co-productions are in that field. And you can find plenty of information on our database and also, for example, on the web pages of the film commissions about projects that are being funded. So you can see which companies are producing and so on. And it depends then of the story, of the script, of the roles that are being searched. So it can happen that also international actors are being needed who live in Germany and also from outside. But either way, I would always recommend to write to casting directors and introduce yourself, because you never know what project they have on the table. You never know what is happening now. So I would say give it a shot and introduce yourself, and let's see what happens. What do
All
you
right.
think, Sonia?
Really interesting.
I
And
totally agree.
if you want, and if you want to ask a question, we won't give you the you won't be able to
Write it down in the chat,
write it down in the chat. Yeah,
please.
please.
Thank you.
And we'll ask it for you.
Yeah, I just that this is not aiming at that much at the international point of view, but just for because I always like to compare how it works in other c countries, and I find it so interesting that what you said about the French market, Emmanuel and Christophe, that for example, even for French people who have like an accent from a different region, you would really have to work on this accent, and it should like really erase it because it's not like that much asked. Even though if you have TV productions in the south, they are not speaking with a southern accent. This is very different in Germany. You have especially TV productions where it's really popular to speak Bavarian or
Okay.
the dialect, the local dialect, because it's something like that's really going together. Just as I mean, of course, if you're from abroad, you would speak German and not Bavarian, I suppose. But it's just interesting, I think, because it says like that's the local color of the language. There is another approach, I would say, compared, for example, to the French market that I have ob observed more
Okay.
precisely.
Okay, really interesting. Yeah. Okay. So if you are if you learn German in Bavaria, you can try to go in those kind of project, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, if you can do it, it's
Yeah.
interesting. It gives you, and also that would also mean like other accents, as Alex says. I mean, of course, we cannot speak for the casting directors, but it means like there's a sympathy in general. I would say it's not like you have to speak this proper German and there's nothing else that's allowed. That's just to say that I think there is in Germany it's a bit more open also to let just people speak with a slight accent, and it's not even a topic in the script, you know, not it's not a command or something. If someone has a slight Danish accent, let's say, well, that's it. Maybe no one really questions it. It's just like
Okay.
that's so just as an example, it's not happening
Yeah.
all the time, but it can happen. It may
Okay.
happen. It's not a no-go.
Okay.
And because we are speaking about regions, how is it organized in Germany? Because you've got a lot of Länder, regions, and is the market organized according to each region, or is it national, like in France, if you want to work, it's better to be in Paris, for example. Is that like this as well, or is there a market in Bavaria, in Berlin, in you know, how did is it national?
Nationwide.
Should I, or do you want, Sonia?
You can, please.
There are like, I would say there are four big TV and film regions, which is Berlin, Cologne, of course the southern part, Munich and Hamburg also. And we have many film commissions. The film commissions are, of course, important because they give the money. So when a film commission from a certain region gives money, the film is being probably shooted in that region, or they spend money in there. So sometimes it happens that, for example, when there are smaller parts, smaller roles that, and for example, Bavaria is giving money. They are searching actors and actresses who live in Bavaria to spend the money over there. If it's a big, big part, that it doesn't matter more or less where you're from, because then they are searching like for the best actor, best actress who fits with the role. And, yeah, but these are the four main cities. So when.
What happened?
I don't know. She
Oh,
she's
hi,
Alexandra.
Uh-oh. I think this has got a problem.
Yeah, I just
Let's
write her.
Reconnect, maybe. Yeah. Oops,
yeah,
that
but
was
I can.
unexpected.
Yeah, that's unexpected. It's a pity. She will maybe try to reconnect.
Reconnect,
I can.
Maybe,
I can. I could take over.
You are living in a small city.
Yeah, she's coming back.
No.
No.
Freezing again. Yeah. Okay. She just connected, and she. I think. She's
yeah, you can go on if you want, Sonia.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it's like it's of course the big difference is like decentralized in Germany. So you have like this, and it used to be in the past like. I don't know. Cologne was more like the also for commercial, and so it's not like this anymore. That you have the types. Of course, the biggest area of shooting would be Berlin, but you don't have to be in Berlin to be a working actor in audiovisual industry. Not at all. You have a market here in Munich, and you have it in Hamburg, and in Cologne as well.
So
Okay.
sorry, I'm back. The picture was freezed. I don't know why. I'm sorry. I hope it will work now.
Yeah, that's
no problem.
It happens. Technical issues.
Yeah.
It happens.
yeah,
yes. So,
but that
Sonia,
was
Sonia took over.
Yeah, but that was clear, I think, about the centralized or decentralized way. So it's a different way of working and a different way of living as an actor or actress in Germany. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, Alexandra, you spoke about public and private agency. Could you explain us what it is and what the difference is?
Exactly. We have many, many agencies, main private agencies in Germany. I counted them and it's more than 250. It's up to 300 almost. Bigger and smaller ones, of course. And we have this public agency, which is called Placement Service for Performing Arts. It's for
and the German
actors.
ZAV. I think we have to
ZAV,
say
exactly.
The German names as well, because it's better known if you ask someone in Germany.
Yes, you are right. And it's not only for actors, it's also for dance artists, opera singers, and so on. People behind the camera as well. So I worked in both of them. When you finished, when you graduated a public school, you can be represented by the ZAV. And also graduates from private schools can go there, but they have to do a rehearsal first. So there are experts who see what you are doing, and they are not deciding about if you are an actor, because if you graduated school, you are an actor. They are only deciding about if you, from their point of view, fit into the market. So it's divided in theater and in television and cinema. From my point of view, I worked for 5 years, and I think this is an amazing thing that we have in Germany, especially for artists, because you are not alone. Even if you don't have, if you are not represented by a private agency, you have the ZAV, and people who are working there, they do a good job. There are small differences, or like really small differences. For example, one expert is in charge of more or less 250 actors. There are many, many people. When I had my private agency, it was 23. So this is a huge, huge difference. But it's always up to you. what you do. If you are searching the contact with the agent, you can have it. He also is speaking with you about your photos, about your demo reel, and so on. So maybe you need some more patience to get a chat or a call with them. But you can be close and you can find work. So I think it's a good thing. A private agency, of course, has got the advantage that they know that people work very, very well. I decide with whom I want to work, and the actor is deciding if he wants to work with me. I can do more marketing. I can do much more suggestion to casting directors, and I do it like my way. The marketing is like, I want to do it. But I think being an actor in Germany, there are possibilities to be represented by someone. Of course, if you are not in a public agency and also not in a private agency, this is not so super good, because casting directors prefer to speak to an agent. It's not like the end of the world. You can put your contact details also on the databases. But I would say it's always better to have somebody who is representing you. Also for yourself, of course, because you need somebody with whom you can talk and made up strategies and so on.
And whether you are in a private or public agency, when you are an actor, you are sure that your agent receive the research from casting directors anyway?
I didn't really get your question. So if I can be sure as an actor, if
private private and public agency receive all the research. Same anyway.
Yes, because casting directors are like hired by the production company and they go on the databases. Germany is a database land, 100%.
Oh, okay.
Of course, some casting directors have their own lists and their own databases additionally. Maybe there are some that only work with their own database, but usually like 95 or more percent are working with databases. So when a casting director is searching for actors, he goes on the database and is doing his research. And it's not so super important in which agency you are. Of course, there are always preferences. There are like the top 10 agencies. There are casting directors who really like a special agent or a special agency because they like the actors that are in there. But here it's more it's about your material, and then they contact person A or person B. And of course, sometimes they also go on the websites of the agencies. But the ZAV, the public agency, is also, I would say from my point of view, it has got a very good reputation to the casting directors. Because everybody knows that the work is a little bit different, but people answer quickly. The agent is there. And as I heard, they like it. They like to work with them. And the good thing is it's neutral, right? Because the public agency does not take no commission. It's the agents are being paid by the contracts, and they always have the chance to go to a lot of events to inform themselves about the industry. So they are very well informed about what's going on. But being a casting director, I think it doesn't matter where you are, only if I really, really love to work with this or that agency. But they always go for the actors and their skills and the material.
And you can have both public and private agency in Germany, or you got the exclusivity.
Yes.
Okay.
You can have just to if you are, for example, in the ZAV and you have an agency in Denmark, for example, there are exceptions. Then you have to speak to the expert, and usually it's not a problem. But if you want to change to a private agency within Germany, then you are not. You still stay an actor in the theater part,
yeah.
But in the film part, you have to choose.
Okay.
And as you were an agent, Alexandra, was it easy for you to speak with the casting directors directly by phone?
Yeah. Or
was it easy for you to explain why one of the actor, the actress you offer is the best one for the character?
For me, I was very lucky because I was working on set first. So I worked with casting directors in another position. And the 5 years on the ZFV were like gold for me because we had, me and my colleague had 400 actors in our portfolio. So there have been casting directors calling us up or writing emails to us every day because they're 400 actors. That's a lot. So my luck was that I, within those 5 years, I almost had contact with every casting director. Mm-hmm. So they get to know me and they knew my work and how I deal with actors, how I suggest them. So when I registered my own company, I already knew them. And of course, you have to be patient and it depends on what kind of person you are. Me, for example, I can be patient in that. And I try always to have a fixed appointment with the casting directors to speak to them, to introduce them to my actors. And it worked. I had many Zoom meetings because it was the Corona time by the time that I opened up the agency. And I also went to visit them and meet them in person. So there have been quite a lot of meetings and I was more like about, okay, let's drink a coffee. Let's speak about us. And then I was speaking about my actors because this is why I was there. And for me, this was the best because I knew that I represented the actors to the casting director. So then I knew that they saw the demo tape. They went on the profile. They knew the information beside. And yeah, but for me, it was thanks to the work in this public agency. I had good contact to casting directors, I would say.
We've got a question about where to live. There was someone who asked, is it important to be based in, can we be based in other country and try to work anywhere in Germany, or can we be based in other cities?
It's I don't know where it is.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I answer that one and then you answer the next one. Is that all right, Tanya?
Sure, please.
It's being always based in different city or country will
see. Yeah. Yes.
Well seen for German market or is it an obstacle?
Exactly, I get the question. When you are living not in Germany, then of course it's always a question of money because when there is a small part and the production managers, of course, they are not thinking about, oh, I want this guy from Lithuania who need a flight, who need hotel, who need accommodation. So it's always the question, what is the script about? When the setting or, I don't know, the historic event of the script or whatever needs actors from different countries, then it's another point of view. But of course, for small parts, I would say, it's difficult to get jobs in Germany when the script is like a neutral story, I would say. Mm-hmm. For bigger parts, it's another thing. As I said, it doesn't matter. But living within Germany, I think it is good to live very nearby one of those big four cities that I was mentioning before. But I always think you also have to live where you want to live, right? It's not like, for example, in Poland, everything is in Warsaw and people live there, or there are maybe two more cities. I would also ask myself, how do you want to spend your life? Where do you want to be? And not go to this or that place only because you think that there are jobs.
Yeah.
We got another question about, question, does the German industry dislike actors who work across different art forms? The guy who just asked, he said he worked and trained in straight acting and film in Spain, yet have been working in big musical theater production for a year now, and somehow this seems to be a disadvantage for German agents.
That he has worked in musical theater as a disadvantage. I don't know. I'm not the agent, so maybe Alex, you will add something, but I would say it depends if one can see it in your the way you act. If you can adapt the different styles, I would, of course, there are also always prejudice, but I would, and it might be more difficult with someone who has another background and he comes from musical. It might be difficult to harder to prove that you're also able to act. But if you can see it in the real, I wouldn't say this is an obstacle. I mean, you do things for your living as well. I mean, you do also commercial. That doesn't mean that you're acting in the way for a commercial all the time. So, I mean, that's just the case of a well-educated, that's, I don't know, trained actor that you're able, if it, that's part of your training. That's why we're fond of acting trainings. And that's why this is so important. I think that you have a certain level of training that you're able to adjust to those different types.
Okay.
So got another question about the age. In the UK, US, all the countries, it is illegal to ask an actor for their real age.
Mm.
Only the playing age is revealed on a resume or casting. But in Germany, this seems to be the norm.
Mm. Is
this violating German equality law regarding age discrimination? And aren't German actors trusted the casting directors or directors that they would indicate a realistic playing age? Is that true? That you really have to say about your real age?
Well, what you should not do, you should not don't say the truth. It happened quite a lot of times that, for example, an actress was saying, I'm 27, but she was 35, for example. So I would not do this. On the databases, there are two things you can fill in. It's the year that you have been born and the, how
acting,
do you say, Sonia?
The acting age.
Acting age, exactly. You put both inside. What you can do is make the year when you have been born invisible. So only casting directors that are working with the database can see it, but it's not visible from the outside. This you can do. And at least you could also type in the acting age. If you don't want to put on the year, I would always recommend to do it, because when a casting director is searching for actors, he's typing in his database, like, for example, they need to be, I need a woman, maybe who lives in Berlin, because there was a funding from Berlin, and the age gap is from 20 to 30, and she needs to do horse riding, for example. So if you don't put any of that information inside the database, maybe you are not found.
Okay.
So, I would recommend to do it. And
It's about the database and the research through the time. That's why. Okay. So it's up to the actors or the actresses. It's up to you. But if you don't do it, just know that casting directors are using database. Okay.
I'm sorry, but it's at least I can speak for Korean Idol. It's not possible not to put it in.
Okay.
So I totally get it, and I know we have been exchanging also with members and who were like not really fond of it, and I totally get the point with the discrimination, but it's a fact. It's the way casting directors are working, so it's part of the research. The age is part of it, and
There is the acting age, no? But think about the acting age. Maybe I think that I look like 35, but maybe the casting director thinks, what? She is looking like 45 or whatever. So it's also, I would put both inside as a recommendation.
But you're not free. You're not free to put anything. It's like, counted from the act, from your real birth date. And then there is like a range around this birth date. So you cannot like really go 20 years from your birth date away. That's technically not possible. So you have a range, but you're not totally freestyle. So in the end, if you really want to change something, you would have to lie. But that's where, Alex, I mean, I have, I know colleagues who did lie about their age and who got along with that. I have no idea. Because on the other hand, of course, that's another discussion. I tell myself, if someone really looks like that, why not? I mean, what's the problem? You're not even, why should you explain yourself, or why should you tell the truth?
Yes,
because everything is, it's not every time about the truth, because if truth was so crucial every time, we wouldn't work in fiction. So, but on the other hand, I see what you're talking, and also I get the argument as well that what you experience in your life is important as an actor, and why, I mean, that would for me be the main argument. Why should you lie about all the experience you had? Because it wouldn't be possible that you have all this life experience if you count yourself 10 years down. So but that's my very personal opinion.
There is a question about how you to get an agency in Germany. Could you, making it short, because I guess that could be a whole webinar about it.
You can get an agent in Germany.
How to get an agency in Germany? Is just sending your resume and your photo, or is
Well, how you can research agencies, I would name you two ways. There is the Association of Agents, which is quite big, with big agencies. There are 70, I think. It's called Verband der Agenturen, and we type it in later. Mm-hmm. So you find 70 agencies and the contact details. Then you go on Crew United and go on the companies, and then you can search for acting agencies and the country that you are searching for. And when you do it, you find 285 acting agencies and other type of agencies as well. So you have a huge, huge list of agencies that you can work with. And what you do, well, I would recommend that it's still the email that counts. It's not like calling them up or writing them on Instagram or whatever. I would write a short email. Maybe introducing you very, very shortly in two sentences, and always put the link to the online platform, to the where you are represented. And if you have, it's for agencies. So you have to put the link to your material. And you could also use one headshot, for example, put it in the email as well. I would not adjust PDFs or download material or whatever. And also a big text, a long text is not needed as well, because here everything is on that link, on the database, they can find everything. And I would not contact agencies before your online profile is not like in really perfect shape. I would first work on that and then go and search and introduce myself, because when your profile is like, well, it's okay, but maybe my demo tape is quite large or whatever, I would never go with that and contact agencies.
And as well, be careful about your Google research when you just try to type your name on Google and see what's popping up, because sometimes agents do that as well. And if you got old things you don't want them to know or to see, or you know, bad programs, bad TV shows, bad whatever it is, just the Google research is good as well.
And would you say, Alex, when someone is like starting in audiovisual and it has more like a theater path, I know it was like years ago, is it still like that if you get an invitation from someone to a theater play combined with a portfolio online, but maybe someone who has not that much shooting experience, but you can see has theater experience, has a school or something, would you say it's also fine to apply with this for an agency, or is it too early?
When you have more experience, like in theater, or still are a student.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I would always apply, of course. I mean, I had some applications from actors that had a long career in theater.
Mm.
So when it's a good house, a good theater, you are like more, wow, I'm impressed.
Sure.
I want to see more. But my experience says that not every super good theater actor is good in front of the camera. So this is why actors need material. Some are, some are not. And if you are a young person, then I should also have a link to the online platform with maybe self-made material with an about me or an interview or whatever. And of course, you can apply. Of course, agents are seeking for young people as well. Only kids and very young people are in kids agencies. But when you are studying or graduating, of course, I think you should apply. Still, many people think that it's good to be on a theater first when you finish school. It's always good to be for 2 years in a theater, because then the industry knows that you have a good education and very good acting skills. But I think there should also be more changes, like there should be more workshops on film schools preparing you for the film market as well. This is in private schools. There is some of them, but in public schools are still not. So if I would be young, a young actor, I would start to create my online profile, work on it, and then apply.
And do you have any agencies who looking for actors who are not German, who come from for foreigners or European actors, really more specialized, you know, in European actors?
Yeah.
And all agencies do that or?
Yeah, well, I don't know what all agencies do. This is why I want to motivate actors to do their own research. Every agency has got a web page. But what I can say, there are some agencies that are like focused on international actors. Mm-hmm. For example, Chris Cross is one,
Caprice Crawford.
Crawford Talents, and others as well. Many actors live in Germany. This is sometimes a difference that they want that you are a German resident, but not all of them. Also, the most of the important agencies, they also have actors that work and live in other countries and represent them. So I would say, yes, there are agencies that you could apply. You have to find them. There are some, definitely. And there are also some that have got one in Germany and one in Spain, for example, or in Turkey or whatever. Yeah. So, go for it.
It can really help to go into the, like Alex said, you go into the agency's website, look at all the agencies on for the German market. The good news is that Crew United is like really complete for the new countries. We don't have all agencies or all, for the German side, it's really rich. So you will find really everything you need almost everything you need to know. If you're really searching for the most important talent agencies, you find them on Crew United. And what you can also do is, for example, go into the actors section on Crew United and then put in some filters that maybe fit to your profile and say, I don't know, a nationality. Let's say I'm a French woman. I'm curious where French people living in Germany, what are their agencies? So you could filter this and have a look, for example, or for native speakers. So you can really freak out with those filters and find out a lots of useful information.
You want to ask you? We got a specific question, but which is interesting. An actor said that the German market and the Austrian market are intertwined. So, well, that's he believes. So, could we have two different agents from both Berlin and Vienna, or are those two countries just one market, and therefore we should only have one agent for both markets? What do you think about it?
Do you know that?
It's two different markets. Okay. Of course, it's both German speaking. I had an actress who was from Vienna, actually, and had this accent still.
Yeah.
So she was amazing. And she was being invited to castings for the big parts. And she didn't get the part. And I was really asking the casting directors why. And it was her accent in that special. But I would say it's two markets. Of course, there are German actors being part of Austrian productions and the other way around. There are casting I always write to Austrian casting directors and also casting directors from Switzerland because they invite German actors. I would take them all, but it's not one market. I would not say that, no.
Okay.
But do you have, I don't know, I would say you don't have an agent in Germany and in Austria. You choose. A way, they are that much interconnected that I would say you should either have an agent in Austria or in Germany. Or do you agree with that, Alexandra? Or do you know if it's possible? Because in Germany, of course, it's a no-go. You cannot have two agents. But I don't know anyone who has a German.
I think when you have got one in Germany, they also
cover the
Austrian and the Swiss market. I did the same. So I think, yes,
So you don't have to have, you don't need to have two agents. If you have one agent in Germany, it's enough and it's going to cover both markets.
Yeah, it's two markets, I would say, but they cover both.
Yeah.
Yes, and you and if you live like be in the south, you would I think get more offers, for example, also for let's say Austrian TV production that happens for Munich actors. At least I don't know how it's in the north, but
There is, for example, one agency. It's called Kelterborn. The agent has got a lot of people from Vienna, and he's based in Berlin, I think. Or there is the Math agency who is working international, and it's based in Vienna. So maybe I misunderstood the question in the beginning a little bit. One agent is enough for that.
The whole area.
Area, but it's two markets, I would say, because the productions are different.
Yeah, it's two markets, but one agent is enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the casting, because unless there is more question about agents that we didn't
The TDV. Someone asked if you have to speak
German
to get to the TDV.
Yeah, you even have to be resident in Germany.
Okay.
So when it's for film and television.
You have to speak English.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to speak German.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
Both. Just I wanted to know, come back to the way to find an agent before speaking about the casting directors. Just you told us that we can send an actor has to send his material, but is that enough by email? Is it not easier to meet the agent as well to be considered, or is that can you get an agent just by sending emails? Is that enough?
Well, this is the way of contacting them first, of course, and then agents receive a lot of emails almost every day. And what is true, I mean, actors sometimes are very disappointed when agencies are saying, I'm full, I don't have capacities. But like speaking from my experience, I can say it is really, really true, because I was one person. I had a little bit more than 20 actors, and I have a special idea of how I want to work and how intense I want to have be in contact with my actors. So I, as one person, I could not manage 40 actors in a private agency. And that ZDV, it's another thing. So I would always recommend to write this email. And then, of course, try to meet them. I always had or a physical meeting or a meeting via Zoom. And I even worked with them before we both said yes. Because for me, it was always important that both parts really, really want to work together. When I found, for example, young people and they told me, well, I have an interview with another agency, I always told them, go and do your interview with everyone you want to speak to, and then you decide, because it's so much work. It's not only the organizational work. It's also like an emotional thing. It's a bit like a relationship, you know, you really get to know that person for me and for the actor. So I always preferred that everyone chooses the person who you really, really want to work with. And I had an interview like getting to know this person, of course. And then I made another interview where we worked on the database and we worked on the material so that me and the actor or the actress could see is the way of how this woman is or the man is working the way I like. So I tested it and they had the possibility to test me if I am the agent that they want to be represented by. So, of course, for me, a meeting is online or not online is important, yes, because I mean it's a person, it's not shoes or trousers or whatever, it's a person that you are managing and promoting.
Okay, maybe we should talk about the casting director, because we've got plenty of questions about casting directors, also about the materials you will need, unless we want to talk about the market itself more than the institutions or the place where to go. What do you think we should start with? Because it's already almost three.
Oh my god!
Left. Yeah.
Start with the casting director.
Let's start with the casting director. And maybe the material we should
send them.
And the showreel. We got a question about the showreel. How long do you think a showreel should be? Since it's possible to skip chapters on most of the internet platforms, but yeah, how long do you think it should last?
Sonia, do you want or should I?
Well, I mean, I'm curious what you say about it, actually, because I
Yeah,
would say
but
it's I would say in Germany it's like a bit different. We don't have
it's not
we
a,
had
yeah, it's not really showreels.
it is you yes and no. I mean, you don't have this. You used to have this, like it has to be like the 5 minutes maximum thing, and well, like one film and show the different scenes. Since we have now new technical possibilities on the platforms, with the chapters, as said in the chat, of course the casting director is more free, or the director whoever takes a look at your showreel has the freedom to click directly the chapters, and so you might leave the scene more longer, which is what I do now. For example, for my and I never got a negative feedback. Of course, it's not like 20 minutes long, but it's not like that. I said, for example, I got in touch with French agent, and someone said, "Please send over your showreel." And then I sent my I wasn't prepared, and I sent my thing I have for Germany. It's like, oh my God, it's way too long. You cannot do this. So it's clear that you need you have another approach in other countries. But I don't know why it's like the other way around, Alex. If I mean, if someone comes with a fine, nice, short Italian 2.5 minutes thing, would this fit to our market
If you have to
demand?
have your profile on Crew United, for example, anyway, if you are looking for an agent, you make your profile on the platform, and then you send something to an agent. He will find what is on the platform.
Well, there are different platforms, but speaking
Yes.
about the showreel, I would say it's not that much about length. It's about how interesting it is.
Yeah.
Like
I
from my
love this answer.
experience, I think this is a point where agents need help, where actors, sorry, need help, because an actor is always insecure about which part or which scene do I want to choose for the demo tape. And I think in that topic, they need another person who has got another view on that. So I would make it interesting, and I would don't try do not make it repetitive. Yeah. So when you, for example, worked on five projects and you have been a nurse in three of them, I would not show three nurses. This is the role, and also like how you are acting, like dramatic or funny or whatever. I would make a good mix. And I would make it short in that way that you enter the scene very late, very, very late. And then you go out of the scene also very, very quick so that the suspense is there. So when a casting director is watching like millions and millions of demo tapes every day and week, and when it's like it takes ages until you are coming or until a close-up is coming or until an emotion is coming, I think after 15 seconds, he's doing like click, 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 and it's over.
Yeah, it
So,
really has to start on the person, right? So it's.
yeah, no, I would not say that it really has to start, but it should be interesting and short in that way that it shows different emotions, different roles, and your acting skills and your variety of your acting skills. But I would say 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. This is quite long, of course.
Yes. And of course, what we don't have anymore is like those kind of trailer things. I see it's sometimes popular that it's people like it, but I of course the tastes are different. But starting with a long music thing, trailer,
No music, no. Just a
I
different
got the
scene. Never,
feedback that
never. You don't
But
do that.
sometimes, I mean, a couple of years ago, it was very famous to have like a best of trailer. Then it was not famous anymore. But lately I saw them and I even edited one and I really, really liked it. It was like an additional thing, you know? And it was without music. It was also like speaking, the
Yeah,
actor was
that's nice.
speaking. But yeah, I would say if it's cool, why not? I was talking to a Polish actress lately, and she has got a super good demo reel, and she has got the small trailer, and she is so good in everything and every she's looking from left to right, she is laughing or whatever, and I think like wow, she has got so many emotions in that short clip, and I love it. So I would say the trend is over, but if you have good material, like an extra, I would do it. But don't use music, and in a normal demo tape, start with the scene directly.
Okay.
As everywhere, there is no real rules.
Yeah.
Interesting. There are main things to do, but do your things and do your best and do what you want and make sure emotions will be transmitted.
Yeah, and focus on you. Focus on you and not the other part that is playing.
It is your demo tape.
There is another question. How can you step into international? No.
No.
Sorry, excuse me. Is that okay to get in touch directly with the casting director, or is it better to ask our agent to do it?
Both. I would say both. For me, the work between actor and agent is like teamwork. So I liked when actors took the initiative and wrote to casting directors, but always first speak with me, that we have like a strategy. Not that I'm writing today and you are writing next week and the content is like the same. It doesn't make sense. So you should make up a strategy if you have an agent. If you are in this ZAV, then you should write to them personally, because this is what the agents in the ZAV cannot do. They are not like representing you in that way. So you have to be proactive by yourself as well.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
Good.
There is, how frequent German actors are reminding themselves to casting directors? Mm-hmm. How many emails should they write to the casting director?
The frequency.
Yeah, the frequency, like every 3 months, every 6 months, or never.
I would say a couple of times, yes, three, 4 times, and always when something happens. I have new photos, I have new material.
Broadcasting.
I found a new agent, I'm going to shoot a big series in a month or whatever. So when you have got something new and something to say.
Okay.
Yeah, when you have things broadcasted, and I think also if you're playing a theater play in a bigger city, it can work.
Okay.
No, theater, you have to be a little bit careful, because when you are a guest, all right, but when you have a contract with the theater, you know you work there for 2 years and you are on stage and in rehearsals every day. So this is maybe a criteria like, oh, this actor is not available now for film industry. So with theater, of course, you can say, but I would not promote it.
No, I mean, but if you have a big part, you should definitely promote it, I think, because I mean that we have so many theater actors in Germany who got into the audiovisual. How did they do this? And they were really under contract, so at least also to be seen. And maybe it's not for the moment, but it would be a good. I think it would be a waste if you have a really good role not to inform people about it. I mean, not if you like. You know, you don't have like really a good play, but if you're really proud of it and you're convinced about, and it says what kind of artist you are as well. I think it could be a nice starting point. It's not like, of course, you should like write every 3 months, now I do this theater play, and by the way, now that. So that's, of course, not like that. But if it's like really a precious thing.
Yeah. You only have to make sure, I get your point of view. You only have to make sure the casting directors don't think that you are not available for shooting days.
Don't they just ask?
When I know that you are working on a theater, like, and you are in the ensemble, you say in English?
Yeah. Yes.
So I know that you are on the theater. So, it's difficult to coordinate all the scheduling you have.
Yeah, that's true.
For example, in Hamburg, it was good, because in Hamburg, there are a lot of theaters. They are quite open to film industry as well. So you could be on the theater and you could have your 2 or 3 shooting days from time to time. The organization went well. But sometimes, I mean, when you are busy working on theater when you are in the ensemble. And when you have got a lot of dates being blocked, this this got a problem, and since the corona times, even more. So you should be free.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to know that it's different in Germany because we have those fixed contracts. It's not like abroad. Maybe not everybody understand what this is about. It really means that you are like under a long term under contract for 2 years, and then it can be always renewed. And there are people like who spent lots of years at the same theater in the same city because a company, la compagnie, so the ensemble is really always connected to the house itself. That's not, they're not traveling. It's like really the theater of the city, the public theater. So that's specific. But of course, we also have private theaters. And like you said, if you're a guest and you're working between both, for example, between audiovisual and private theaters from time to time, it can like also be, we were talking about things to say to casting directors. So.
And can you tell us how do casting directors work in Germany? Are they self-employed or permanently employed by production companies?
Can you tell us about the decision-making process, etc.? Well, more about how they work.
Yeah. You or me, Sonia?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Usually the production company is hiring a casting director who is working like a freelancer, but he's hired for that project.
Okay.
And there are some bigger companies that have like their own casting department. There are a few of them. And also the broadcaster ZDF has got a caster as well. But most of them are being hired for projects.
Okay.
So they are a member of the team. Mm-hmm. And they are in charge of finding the cast, of course, and representing him to the director and the production department, of course.
Okay, great. And how does the decision-making process work?
Yeah.
Who decide?
Well, who decides in the end? I think the suggestions are, of course, the casting directors and sometimes directors as well, of course. Directors, of course, have got a big, big decision-making. But also the producers, of course. Mm-hmm. And also when it's being funded by the broadcasters, of course, also the commissioning editors. They have the voice as well. So there are more people in the process of decision-making, I would say. It's not only the casting director, of course.
And is it easy to get in touch with those people in professional events or things like this?
Well, you as an actor get in touch with the casting directors. And you could also, like, it's up to your personality. I mean, when I was working as assistant to director, I was contacting the directors directly. I went on Crew United. Found the email address and introduced myself. So you could also introduce yourself to directors. Why not? The most important for you is the casting director, and the producer, of course. Yeah, you can, of course, when you are on a festival or whatever, you talk to the producer or the commissioning editor. It might help as well, but focus on casting directors because, I mean, they are being hired for doing the casting. So this is the person that you should look out for.
I've got a question. I don't think so, but does casting also negotiate the rate or salary for the actors as they do like in England or United States? No, it's the agent who negotiates the salary, right? The casting director doesn't do anything about it.
It's the agent, but what happens...
With the casting director or with the producer?
No, normally it's the agent with the production, production manager, right?
Okay.
But sometimes you receive an email from a casting director, like, I would like to ask for that and that actor. But this project has got a small funding or whatever, and we can only pay 1,200 or 2,000 or whatever. So this is what they have to do sometimes. They are not negotiating, but sometimes they give us the information what the wage would look like.
Which happens in US.
Yeah.
In the United States.
In England.
In England, I think so as well. Yeah. Casting director negotiates and have the budget for the actors, and they say, okay, you got 1 million for all the whole the whole cast. So just do your things with that.
No, you're not. And as I heard, casting directors don't want to do that part either. And I understand either, it's not the work.
Yeah, they don't want to do that. Okay. And let's talk about the portfolio and what does the ideal portfolio should look like for an actor? What kind of photos? How many photos?
Like Mary, for example, here, right?
We got Mary who just sent us, just show us a photo. What could be the photo? I just want to say that those people who raise their hand and don't accept to be as a panelist, you can't be able to write your message, so you can't ask the question. You have to be a panelist to write your question, and then we'll ask the question. Sorry about that. About the portfolio.
Sonia, me or you?
Yeah, I can start. So good for photos. I would say at least 10. It's normal for an actor's profile. I would say
10 photos.
10. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say it can be less, and it can be more as well. But of course, the most important are like the first 5 ones you show in your profile. And you start with a headshot, very classic, of course. So you can have a headshot and then and different expressions. We have a big market for photographers in Germany, and as we found out, I think in our in the French discussion, that of course it's a bit more expensive in Germany, but we have high quality photographers who are really specialized on that. So you can also find them. I will put a link on Casting Network, for example. We have a list of the photographers in Germany. It's also possible to have whole body shots because it's not well seen in other countries, but you can do it in Germany. Sure. So and you should have it so that someone can really see the shape of your body or its size. So and of course, and you. I would say there is more changes, as what I observe, there's more changes in dressing in Germany. So in France, for example, I see lots of time like the headshot and just very slight expression. So differences so that you can see the different expressions in the face. In Germany, I would say they really also change clothes. So you would say like that's what I get. As advice is also to change like the first 5 photos you have, like not take all the time the same look and but change a little bit so that one can see the different roles you could potentially take. Yeah, that would be my feedback on this topic. Alex?
Yeah, just to say something more, I think photos are one of the most important things on your profile, because when casting directors are searching for roles, the first thing they see is the photo. And the photos are small in the databases. So the first photo should be interesting, should be new, like you, but interesting. And this is, they click on the photos and then they decide if they want to see more of your profile. So when actors don't want to spend so much money on photographers, I would say, of course, it's not about the money. It should be a good photographer. But this is a must, I would say. And it's also very important with which photographer are you working with? Because some actors need photographers who direct things. Mm-hmm. Do this, do that. Some actors and actresses need, I don't know, a special atmosphere to open up themselves. So I would also take this in consideration, like, what kind of photographer is the person? Where can I open up myself? Where can I show emotions and so on? So photos are very important. Then the demo tape, as we already have been talking about, and the CV is also important. And the good thing is that on the databases, for example, you have special skills like horse riding, for example, then you can also do a short video where you are horse riding or speaking something about, well, I'm horse riding since I'm 8 years old or whatever. And you can connect it with the skill you put on the database. So this is when you are speaking about a perfect profile, I would also add your skills in short videos because it's a visual industry. And also speaking of the time working as assistant director, when there has been somebody who need to do horse riding, and I see it's written in the CV, And there are 10 actors who did that short video, and I can directly see it. I can suggest him directly to the director, and the director is saying, oh, well, great, we take them, him. So it's also an advantage in the market. Yeah, I would update my profile like very, very good and precise.
And if we're talking about frequency, this is something, this is really important, and that you keep this up to date. So it's frightening to see how old sometimes those online profiles are, and because of course this is not something where you feel when someone is clicking on it. But I believe if you would realize how many times those profiles are have been clicked on it, you should really be aware that this should be up to date, and it's not well seen if it's like a photo that is like 8 years old, or if the last experiences you had date like from 5 years ago, things like that.
Considered if it's old. You are just not being considered. There are like 15,000 other actors who had got a good profile. So normally it's, or maybe you are very famous, it's another thing. But when you are like a normal working actor. And what I forgot to say, the video with your language skills, of course. Please do a short video. It could be an interview or a scene or whatever, where you speak in your language and your languages, you know, and when you have, for example, you speak English with your French accent and you also speak English with your American accent, please present it, the dialect and the languages as well.
And about the languages again, when you send a short reel, are English subtitles enough? When if it's not
I was asking casting directors like a couple of days ago, and there should be subtitles in English, yes.
Okay, great. And what about self-tapes? Can we talk about self-tape? Do you do like live casting, or is it online? And what about the self-tape? Do
they ask for it, or?
Yeah, in France, there's more and more self-tape casting. Yeah. What is it about in Germany?
In Germany as well. I mean, we do have it. It's like not the exclusive way. I mean, it depends on the role, I would say, and of course, I was in much more self-tapes in a commercial industry, the way where lots of things go only via self-tapes. But for the first consideration, for example, it could start with a self-tape, and the second one could be a live casting.
Sometimes you also get the job only because of your profile.
Sure.
3 shooting days, and then you are being booked for that. And when it's a bigger part, you do a self-tape. And then when it's big, you are sometimes invited also to a Konstellations casting, like the constellation with the other actors.
Yeah, I heard that some actors booked roles just by being on the platform on Queen.
Lots of times.
They haven't been called. And we said, okay, you've been chosen for this role. Shooting.
That's very common.
Yeah, and that would never happen in France. It would never happen.
Never.
But
never.
Even for a bit part, no, like if you two shooting days.
Don't even think about it. They all.
You have a live casting for that?
A live casting or self-tapes?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it's just like amazing. Yeah, we're like, wow, okay, it's really two ways of working.
Okay.
Unless you're really known from the casting or the director, or you're somebody that everybody knows you, and then they just choose you. But if not, it will never happen.
I mean, when your material is good and shows everything a casting director needs for those 2 or 3 shooting days, then it's enough.
They want to meet the people.
Yeah.
No, here you have more chances. So this is why you should be online.
And what do you think about the About Me video on Germany? It's something that we don't do in France, but do you do that and use it? I guess so. Well, I heard so. Is that still something you have to do, the About Me video?
You don't have to do it, I would say, but it's okay. I mean, also a question of taste, but I heard that there are a couple of casting directors who really say I prefer this instead of no material, of course, already. And then even if, like, let's say you don't have like the greatest scenes on your show, or that's something you would really have to add, or as Alex said, something which makes you unique. If it's short, it has to be short. It does really. It shouldn't take ages to tell the story of your life. But if it's something really like to emphasize on and then there are also no limits how to do it. You can also walk around and spend an evening looking at your colleagues, how they do it. And the German colleagues, you will find lots of about me's, and you will see that there is no limit. And I think you will have to do like the way you feel it is right, and you really think, because there are no real rules what an about me should look like, except that it really shouldn't be long.
But if for example, if you don't have scenes in a foreign language you can speak, maybe it's a good way to show how to speak, no?
Yeah, this is what I said before. This is like the skill thing.
Yeah.
But many casting directors like About Me. So when you are an international actor and want to introduce yourself to a German casting director, I would recommend to do a short video introducing yourself about your career, of course, shortly. And if your German is okay, you can do it in German. If your German is like really, really not so good, I would do it in English. And this is what the casting directors told me, so that they can understand what you are saying in your presentation. But then, of course, say please two sentences only that they hear it. It's not about the perfect language you have to speak. It's more about how it sounds. Like 10 years ago, when I was working for an international project, and there was one shooting day, and it was in English, and we hired an actor from the UK because they wanted the proper native British English accent. But this changes now. So sometimes they are seeking the dialects, the not perfect native languages.
Mm. Okay, great.
Can we talk about the difference between the TV and the cinema markets? Just because there is a big... Well, it's two different markets.
Is there a big difference, or
But in what way? In what way?
Well, how do they work? Do they work differently? Is it another way of working? How is it?
I said it in the beginning. I think that we have these big broadcasters who have still most of the money to give to production companies to produce content. And cinema is often, of course, working also with co-productions as well. Or if you want maybe to ask a little bit more precise, that I get it more, what you would like to know?
I don't know. Maybe because we know that in France it works not really the same. I know the cinema market is more like being...
It's very different here.
Yeah, it's very different here.
It's not the same way to work.
It's not the same way that they're going so fast in the TV.
Yeah, all right.
And in cinema, it's taking time. It's about all the relationship. It's like kind of family. They don't have that much money, blah, 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 blah. There's so many things different here.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe when I think about me being on set, I was only for cinema. So it was different, yes. Like while you are shooting, you have, of course, more artistic chances, more time to experiment and things like everything is very detailed. And in TV, of course, it's sometimes a bit quicker. Also, the camera positions are 1, 2, 3, go. Well, here you either worked for cinema and advertising, or you have been on the TV market, in the past, right?
Yes.
So, and also casting directors, there are casting directors who do mainly cinema, and there are casting directors who do mainly TV.
Okay.
So,
the same in France about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's another artist. Of course, if you are an actor who works for TV and you are in shows since 10 years, maybe it's a bit difficult for you to step into the cinema market. Yes.
Okay.
It's not impossible, but it's like you don't want to do it, but it's like you categorize a little bit. So even if you are working for TV, I would always try to at least do a movie, for example, with a school or a debut or something like this, that you have some kind of cinema experience as well. Because it is another look, it is another way to work. Yes, does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. And do you use?
I was wondering, in France, it's the most important to work in France is to have a good network and to make it evolve in the day by day, day after day. But, and if you don't know anybody, if you are not in touch with people working in the cinema market or audiovisual market, with casting directors, agents, directors,
producers,
technicians, if you don't have these people around you, it's very difficult to work. And I it seems like in Germany, it's, you have to have a good profile, but it's not such a question of knowing people. Is that true?
I would say a good network is always good and important. Like, for example, I work with casting directors for quite a long time. So sometimes they call me up as an agent because they know me and they ask, like, I am searching for somebody who has got a Turkish language skills or whatever. Do you know somebody? This is the network work.
Yeah.
It's about experience, about getting to know casting directors. For me, networking is not being on a party and having a drink together, and that's it. For me, networking is like, keep on networking, stay in contact with the people. But if you don't have the network, you have always the chance to present yourself and be proactive and start to do your network. But I also think that as an actor, you should be also informed about the market. And Germany, there are so many websites that you can get any kind of information. There are podcasts, there are magazines that are free. There are, I love podcasts, by the way, because when you are listening to a podcast with an casting director who is being interviewed, you get to know him in some way as well. So I think you should really do your research, as you can download lists of projects that are being funded. Crew United is the perfect skill to get to know the industry, the companies, the casting directors, and so on. So I think this is nowadays, it's a part of the profession of an actor to be informed and to show interest. And then your network grows, of course.
Okay, yeah. So you can make it without having a big network, but it's always better to have a network, which is, in France, you can't make it if you have a network, if you don't have a network. And so it's better to have a
no,
network.
Yeah. I think you can have it, and I think everybody should have a chance to show yourself and introduce yourself. Yeah.
Yes, there was a question about the podcast, but just you just replied.
Any recommendations about podcasts to listen to for this?
Yes, I put them in, but we will also have a document afterwards that when you have the replay, you will, you will have also some lists of websites that are useful, because as Alex said, it's for all the intransparency we still have in all this business. I would say Germany is quite transparent. You have lots of possibilities to inform yourself. And of course, you can go to festivals, and there are panels about very important topics, and be part of it. But of course, if you're interested in those topics, but because then talking about the topics we have in common also does empower you actually, and give you common topics to talk about, and not say only I'd be glad if you think about me, you know. That's just, we're all bored of this, so so that's why it's of course it's. And there are, and then the smaller festivals, we will put some festivals also in the document. Personally, I would say are easier if they have those industry talks. It's really nice. And then you can hang out afterwards, and then you would have something to talk about, and not only like search for topics in common. Or if you have, of course, a chance to have a film somewhere on a short film festival or wherever, then go there, of course. You should really grab the opportunity. If you had the time and the money.
Yeah, it's always, it's like everywhere. I mean, we're just,
yes.
It's just a human reality. We want to get in touch all together. It's not just about applying to a casting and just sending emails, because that can be done, but that's boring for everyone. I'm sorry, we must. It's 3:30 now. Already 1 hour and a half. We could have a lot of there. I know there was questions about theater auditions and all of those kind of things. I'm sorry, but we won't be able to answer all the questions, and we try to make our best. But already 1 hour and a half that we've been talking together, and so I hope that has been helpful to you. So just remember, the replay will be available on our website, and if you're a Crew United member, it's free, or a Median member, it's free. And anyway, it's going to be free. The replay is going
during
to be
a
free
week.
During 1 week. Free access for 1 week for everyone. And the next market, the next webinar will be next year, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
It will be obviously about the Lithuanian market.
Yes,
but we
are
don't
so
have
to know about this market. So
yes.
It's so interesting.
Let me just also do a bit big a small sum up. If you have questions, of course, about the use of Crew United, then you can get in touch with us via info@crewunited.com. Check out the website. You have our direct contact of Alexandra and me as well. Of course, if it concerns Crew United, please contact Alex via her Crew United email address. But it's good to know that she's also a consultant for actors and agencies, and I put another email address in here. So if you feel like there are topics you want to check out deeper with Alex, am I right? You can contact her via this email address.
Exactly. When you want to speak about your profiles and how it should look like and so on, you can, of course, contact me via that email.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Sonia and Alexandra.
Thank you.
We'll see again next year.
Next year. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much for having us here.
Thank you for being here with us. It was a pleasure.
Thank
you.
Thank you for listening
to
90 minutes.
It's too short, always too short. Thank you very
much.
Yes, so
for
much.
Sure.
Have a good day, everyone.
You too.
And a happy new year.
Not yet.
Yes.
Happy ending year.
Merry
that.
Christmas.
Ending year.
It's too early. We still have 16 days in this year, which will be the best.
Frohe Weihnachten.
Ja, frohe Weihnachten.
Bye bye. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Merry Christmas.
Bye bye. Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Bye bye. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye bye. Bye bye.